You're listening to WMSC. I am Ryan doing this week's Milwaukee Midweek, and in studio we have with us one of the founders of X Fabula, Miss Amy, and the winner of the last month's event, Drew, and we'll hear from both of them in a minute. We're also going to hear Drew's story. Welcome to the story, both of you.
Hello. Thank you.
Let's start with you, Amy. X Fabula has gained quite the momentum. I mean, you went from like 60 people at your first event to 170 people at one of the recent events. And was live storytelling in front of audience something you thought would grow this fast?
I thought Milwaukee was ready for it. I know I've been listening to The Moth and This American Life and StoryCorps for years and been very... I've had my own personal yearning to hear the same sort of thing coming from our city. And so I thought Milwaukee was ready for it, and Milwaukee has certainly proven that it is by our huge turnouts at our events. We've had to go to bigger and bigger venue sizes. And to the point where in May we're going to do our X Fabula All-Stars event, which is going to be our season finale, where we'll be at Turner Hall on May 14th, Friday night, and we'll be featuring winners of the previous monthly events competing with all new stories at 10 minutes long.
it's your grand slam.
This is our grand slam. Exactly.
And I'm pretty sure our listeners are now familiar with what X Fabula is, but I want to know, part of your mission says you're trying to build community through live storytelling. Have there been any like really poignant examples of that?
Well, after every event, I... at least personally and through talking with other people, there's kind of a post-X Fabula afterglow where you feel incredibly warmly connected to those people around you, and you're excited about the other residents in the city, and people talk about the previous night's stories and what they liked best and what they found funny, and recount the stories to other people again. That's one of the reasons that we share them online and on rebroadcast them. So we have had some really poignant moments. I think you actually told me, maybe you can tell the story about somebody you talked to at one of the events.
It's not as much building community as keeping somebody in the community. I met this Irish gal who I talked to during one of the shows, and she had basically said, I thought I had experienced everything there was to experience about Milwaukee and was ready to sort of move on, and said she's going to think about sticking around even longer now that there's something like X Fabula in the city.
And I think we've had... the universal experience for the storytellers seems to be they get up there and tell the story, and the audience is immediately with them. And I think that points to the community aspect of it, where everybody can see that it takes some guts to get up there and tell your story. So the audience is waiting with bated breath and hoping for their success at every moment. And then when they get off the stage, they're feeling all this, you know, powerful emotions of having shared their story on stage, and 10 or 15 people come up to them and say, oh, I really enjoyed your story, or yours was my favorite story, or I had a similar experience. And we've had a few personal anecdotes come through from some feedback from some of our storytellers that have been very moving. Either somebody was going through a difficult time in their lives and it wasn't really well understood by those around them, but years later when they tell the story on stage, it seems to crystallize their experience for people who lived through it with them. So that's been a pretty powerful community building aspect.
Yeah.
In addition, I've just found the nature of storytelling and the fact that it gives you something to talk about right there. You talk to so many people you don't know at these events, during, after, and you can make connections with people in that way. Maybe Drew can speak to that. since he told this story.
Real quick, you're listening to WMSC. This is Milwaukee Midweek, and we're in studio with ex-Fabula founder Amy and the winner of the last month's event, Drew. And let's have Drew tell us who the heck he is real quick.
Well, my name is Drew Braille, and I was born in Milwaukee, or the Milwaukee area, and I'm an actor in town. I've been working in theater for about 25 years here.
You have quite the strong theater voice.
I thought I would back up a little bit.
No.
And I heard about this and had heard similar things on the radio, and I came to see the X-Fabula the month before the one that I did, and the subject then was, help me out, it was...
Now or Never.
Now or Never. And I saw that, and I loved the energy that was in the room, as you were saying. I loved... you wouldn't think, or I wouldn't have thought that people could get up in front of a group of strangers and have that intimacy right away. I would have thought that if it had been a wedding reception or some large group of people that you basically know, that's one thing.
Right.
That's scary enough, actually. But to get up in front of a group of strangers and tell something that is true and, you know, and simple, and tell the story simply, that's fascinating to me. And I thought I'd wanted to try it, and then when I saw that, I knew I wanted to try it, and so I was determined to do it the next time, and so I did.
That's
but the hardest problem was coming up with a story, which I, because it has to be a story, it has to be a true story from your life, and I had to think of a lucky story, and I eventually did, just in time, in fact. So,
well, let's go ahead and listen to that story real quick, and I have a lot more to talk to you about coming back, but this here is Drew's story from last month's X-Fabula event. It was at Moe's out in Wauwatosa, and Drew was the victor, the audience-chosen victor. So,
and the theme was luck.
Theme was luck. Lucky charms, lucky stars, good luck, bad luck. We heard pretty much all of it. So here is the story.
I should not be here tonight. I should be dead. I was in the luckiest accident in automotive history. And this is how it happened. Years ago, I was invited to a party, and a friend of mine, whom I'll call Julius, swung by my house to pick me up to drive me there. I didn't know how to drive yet, which is important, as you'll see later. So we're driving down the freeway to this party, and we get into a conversation, and the subject kind of wanders onto how we both have this amused contempt for small talk. And how some people feel the need to fill a perfectly good silence with meaningless, empty words, and how we're both trying to break ourselves of this habit. We were both freshmen in college at the time. So we make our point, and we lapse into a kind of smug silence for the next couple of miles, because nobody's going to break it, you see, because that'd be weak. Now, before I forget, I should tell you that I have no idea where this party is or how to get there. I'm entirely relying on Julius to know the way. So after a couple more minutes of this, I decide to be the big man, and I say, "Why, we sure are getting good at avoiding small talk, aren't we?" And Julius says nothing. So I think, okay, this is the way he's going to play this, huh? So I shut up again and smile for another couple of miles, and we're driving down the freeway, and finally I get fed up, and I throw up my hands and I say, "Okay, Julius, you win. You're better at silence than I am." And he still says nothing, just keeps driving, looking straight ahead. In fact, it's not until after we get off the freeway and then get right back on the freeway, and I ask him, "Julius, you sure you know where we're going?" And he still doesn't say anything, that I begin to suspect that something might be wrong. Or I'm just getting pissed off. I can't remember which. Now, what I didn't know at the time, what Julius himself didn't know at the time, is that Julius has epilepsy. And he's having what the doctors call a brownout. He's not a blackout. He's still conscious. He just isn't quite all there. He's driving perfectly normally. He's staying within the lines, going the speed limit, obeying all the other rules of traffic, but he just doesn't have any idea where he's going or why. And he obviously doesn't have any interest in conversation. But I can't tell, because aside from getting off and on the freeway, he's driving perfectly normally. I don't know where we're going. And because we've had this conversation, I think he's just being a jerk. So I don't panic, which is important. So eventually we get off the freeway again, and now we're in city traffic, and it's night, it's dark, and there's a big intersection, and there's a red light ahead of us, and there's a car stopped at that red light straight ahead of us, and there's another vehicle in the lane to our right. And Julius, brown out or no, can see the red light, knows it means stops, put his foot on the brake, but he doesn't put it on quite vigorously enough, and we rear-end the car in front of us at the intersection. A little. So here's the luckiest accident in automotive history. We rear-end the car in front of us, but one, nobody gets hurt. Two, the car in front of us is so little damaged that when the light turns green, the driver just drives off. He never gets out of the car to swap insurance numbers. Three, the car that Julius is driving is damaged in just such a way that when the light turns green and he puts his foot on the gas, because he's still not reacting to anything, and now I'm really starting to freak out, he puts his foot on the gas, the car won't start. Must have dislodged the flenser valve or something. And four, the vehicle in the lane to our right, remember, is an ambulance. So the EMTs pile out of the car and they check to see if everybody's all right and notice that something's seriously out of whack with Julius, and they shine lights in his eyes and give him orange juice and restore him and generally save the day. So let's take stock. One, if Julius had had a blackout on the freeway instead of a brownout, death. Two, if we hadn't had this conversation or I knew where we were going and I had realized that something was seriously wrong and had panicked, remember I don't drive, trying to grab the wheel or do the brakes or something, death. If he had not put on the brakes at all and just rear-ended the car ahead of us, possibly death. If the car had been able to go when the light turned green, off we go into city traffic, death, possibly multiple deaths. But nobody gets killed, nobody gets hurt. Julius is diagnosed and treated, is never put in this situation again or puts anybody else in this situation again. As far as I'm concerned, the ambulance and lane to our right is just fortunate icing on a very lucky cake.
That was brilliant.
Thanks.
Yes.
And how did you prepare to tell this story? I know you said it was kind of last minute that you thought of this particular story.
Well, yeah, I knew that the stories have to be 5 minutes long, and there's a whole mechanism for letting you know when you're running out of time. And I knew that I did not want to be caught with my pants down when the 5 minutes came up. So I prepared. I knew the story. I wrote it down. I memorized it. This right now, talking to you on the phone, on the radio like this, is I'm much more nervous doing this because this is all extempore.
Right. You
know, it's all ad-libbing, and I don't like to do that. You know, I'm an actor, so I actually more or less memorized the story and more or less rehearsed it and just more or less performed it. Rather than, and maybe this isn't in keeping with the spirit of the whole enterprise, I don't know, but rather than just going up and spitballing for about 5 minutes, well, I wanted to make sure that I got it. It had a good beginning and it had a structured middle and it had a good conclusion. And I worked it all out in advance, and I made sure I didn't drink too much that night.
Also key. Just to say, that is allowed. It is allowed to prepare and encourage to prepare.
I thought you meant
story.
The drinking.
Drinking is allowed too, as long as you can still maintain your time, your sense of time. But
which was an issue.
Oh, yes, we did have to cut off our first storyteller, who clearly had 15 minutes more story to tell and only 30 seconds left to tell it.
In his defense, it did sound like it was one heck of a story.
It was one heck of a story. But yes, we do encourage people to think out their stories and think through. And I just wanted to point out one of the great aspects of Drew's story was that while there's a series of events that happens and he takes us through the experience, and then he also includes reflection and an interior dialogue that he was having. I think that gives the story an extra power and an extra emotional connection, is because often we walk around in our communities and we go through the motions of life and we don't necessarily connect with another person on their interior. And I think this is one of the things that I really like about storytelling, is it gives us a chance to share what's going on in your head as that happens. Mm-hmm. And it adds so much to the story. So, a wonderful example of a really a little incident that happened in Drew's life, and how he could a dramatic incident and how he can wrap it into, you know, he can place it in his life in the time it happened and why this and this and this happened, and it's funny and it's dramatic. So yeah, that's a great example. We've had a whole range of stories. We've had interesting stories about things that people do on very long nights in an escapade kind of setting. We've had life change stories where somebody is coming up to a moment where they had to make a big decision about what they wanted to do as the next step in their life. And we had a really great story from Karen Kohlberg at that Now or Never event that was, it's available online, and it was about her having a stroke. And I think that was the most gripping description of going through a stroke from a first person perspective that I have ever heard. Mm-hmm. And it was all told in 5 minutes. Yeah. So I think that's one of the great powerful things, is that you can really connect with people's insides in a way that you don't through many other media. So,
sure. Yeah, we're in studio with X Fabula and one of their storytellers, the winner of last month's event. Drew, what's the why? Like you said, you went to one of the events and knew you wanted to do it, but what's the payoff on the storyteller end? You're not getting paid. It's not you're used to theater where, you know, you get the sort of applause and adoration or whatever mm-hmm. the payoff might be for theater. What's the payoff for you as a storyteller?
Well, there is, you know, naturally the typical, you know, greedy actor up in front of the room, you know, getting the attention kind of payoff. I mean, that's not to be, you know, taken lightly, but I found it was great for me. I hadn't ever done anything like this before, and I thought, I really need to give this a try. There's so many times in my life when I've had opportunities like this, and I've said, "Well, I'll do that someday," and I end up not doing it. And this time, I thought, "No, I'm going to follow through with this because I need to see if I can do this, and I need to just see if I can do it and not, you know, completely crash." The idea of going up there and doing it and actually, you know, succeeding.
Right.
Even I hesitate to use the W word, but you know, winning. That wasn't even part of my reasons for doing it. I wanted to see if I could tell a story in a structured setting like that, a 5 minute setting like that, and when I went to see the Now or Never one the month before, those were some fantastic stories that night. Amy's right. We just I had never seen one before that. Now I'm sorry, and I will certainly come to see the one in April. But I thought, if this is the caliber of the storytelling here at these events, and you know, these people, you know, very few of them are performers, as far as I know. They just get up and do this. The courage that takes, especially for people who don't have experience on stage, it was very, you know, inspiring and very kind of humbling at the same time. So I thought, well, I should do this. I need to see if I can do this. And once I thought of the story, it was just a matter of, you know, writing it down, shaping it, and getting it ready.
Are you going to use that piece of audio to recruit new storytellers?
We would like to. I'd actually like to recruit a few of the listeners right now to come out on Tuesday night, April 13th, to Stonefly. It's our last regular event for this season, so it's your last chance for a few months to get up there. And
Drew, were you chosen from the hat or pre-selected?
He was chosen from the hat.
I was chosen from the hat. So, if I had gotten my story together sooner, I think I probably would have been one of the scheduled ones.
Sure.
But it was by the time I did, I was just, again, lucky to be to be picked out of the hat. And also, I have to say, lucky to be the first one. Marcy Kearns had told the story. She was scheduled to tell the story, and I was the first one drawn out of the hat. That was good.
Yeah.
Because if I had been the last one drawn out of the hat, and I had had to sit there nervously through all the other stories, by the time I got up there, I probably would have been a wreck.
Yeah.
But I got it up out of the way right away, and then I could sit, and then I could drink. So.
That's nice when it works out that way.
Yeah. And how many, Amy, slots per show do you draw the hat?
Well, we usually have 9 storytelling slots, and then 2 of those are usually 2 perspective stories, whether it's the Rashomon or the Turkel or some new, yet-to-be-figured-out story format. We're very open to different formats. So we have about 7 solo stories told, and we usually arrange a few in advance, and then we open the rest up to people who put their name in the hat and that are randomly drawn. And we want to encourage people to come out and try it, as it's something that some people who tell stories at parties all the time are really good at without any preparation whatsoever. So we've had that, and we've had Drew's example of people who prepare. And what we encourage people to do is really just have an opening line and a closing, so that when they're running out of time, they can get to the end of their story. And if they have those things in mind, and then they have the events mapped out in their head, then they can fill in the rest. But obviously, we really encourage people to prepare well. I think your story you'll have a higher chance of telling a good story. But there are people who just who come that night and say, I have a story, and get up and tell it and do great.
And in fact, if I may, I would say, I feel like a little bit of a coward for working it all out, like a good German in advance. But I think it would be wonderful if you got there having never even heard of Exfabula, found out what it was about, wrote down your name and put it in the hat, and got up and told the story. Hopefully you get it done in 5 minutes. But even if you don't, it's not really about, being the best storyteller. The point is, getting up and, stop me if I'm wrong, but the point is to get up in front of a group of people and share something of your life that has to do with the particular theme. And we talked about the idea of being cut off at 5 minutes, and I didn't want that to happen to me, but I think it would have been better for me to have gotten up and not, even without having rehearsed in advance, and gotten cut off for 5 minutes, for me to get up and tell a story for 5 minutes, than for me not to get up at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I determined when I went to the other one, the Now or Never one, was I'm doing this. I need to do this, and if only for myself, I need to do it. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's great. The reaction that you get from the audience under these circumstances, even though the where we were, it wasn't a what you call an ideal venue, is very fulfilling. It's very gratifying.
You will have all the attention on you. So that's one of our offerings.
Sure.
You can be the focus of attention.
But if I were to go up there and take off all my clothes or my pants were to fall, as a better example, accidentally, I would also have all the attention on me. But it wouldn't be the kind of attention that I'm talking about. This kind of attention is just so warm,
exhilarating,
and people are so supportive in the audience.
It's funny that you bring that up, though, because we did have somebody take off their clothes at one of the early events, but only as a means to demonstrate the story as it was happening.
Of course, he had taken off his
clothes in the story. So you can also get, we don't have video of that one, but you can hear that one on
would it be worth
on
it
our
anyway?
Blog.
I love the sort of, my example is my boss, Tom Crawford, did one of the storytelling events. And the theme was busted. And here's this tattooed music freak, kind of imposing if you don't know him. And I'm just like, whoa, he's going to have a great busted story. But he gets up there and tells this story about being afraid to go to class because he's afraid of the teacher.
Like when that, he was seven.
That's the
when
kind
he was seven
of,
years
old. When he was
old.
7 years old, yeah. And that's sort of what, how I think you're achieving a mission with building community, because he's my boss. I see him every day. And I had never heard that story. And I had never sort of dove into Tom's childhood and, you know, how he was when he was a kid. Uh-huh.
Well, and we also had a great kind of international community building story in the sense that the winners of the last event, who were the couple who there was a proposal on stage, and they told a story about the first time her family met him, and it was over Christmas, and it was a very eventful Christmas. And her parents ended up telling their version of the story from their two perspectives. They told the story together at their local storytelling series, which was in Vancouver. So we are actually trying to get a hold of a copy of that we can post on the blog, but it is available at our Facebook page, because it's that was really something to hear four perspectives on right. one event and everything that was happening there.
There's your new format.
Yeah. International dual perspective storytelling.
It's called the Four Rooms Perspective.
Four Rooms.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. Really glad to see the growth of Xfabula. And first we have, the next event is Tuesday at Stonefly at 8 p.m. And
the theme is Stranger in a Strange Land.
Stranger in a Ooh, nice. And then the big one is
May 14th. It's at Turner Hall Ballroom, 8 p.m. Story start. Doors open at 7 p.m. And the theme for that is Epic Fail.
That's going to. Drew's already working on his epic fail story.
Yes.
So many to choose from.
Yes. Yeah. There'll be 10-minute long stories, all new, from previous winners.
Fantastic. Well, right. Thanks again for coming in, and continued success. And Drew, can't wait to hear your all-star story.
I can't wait to think of it.
This was Milwaukee Midweek, and I was your host, Ryan Schleicher, this week. Thanks for tuning in. And up next is Drew sitting in for Melissa.